tell stories so grand of this vast, timeless land, and they call it Sunday with Macca.
G'day, Macca. This is Susan from Mundawar Twin River Station on the Kalgoa and Beery River. Yeah, I've got sheep up the raise. My husband's just mustering. We're on a 37,000-acre property. We're trucking some sheep out. We're moving stock up to higher ground because the river will probably rise in 2 weeks, so we've got to move them to safer ground. The Twin Rivers, because we're on a 37,000-acre property, it's the Kalgoa and the Beery Rivers.
Kalgoa.
So they both join on our station out here. And it's 27 degrees, it's going to get to 40, and so we're just doing a bit of work early. We've been up since, you know, going since 6 o'clock sunrise, so we don't stress the sheep out. Yes. So there is a bit of barring here, but they're saying hello to you.
Yeah, exactly. We love it. And Australia loves it, I'm telling you, Susan. We love it. It's our connection to Australia.
It really is. We hope you can make it next Christmas to the Kalgoa Christmas party.
We're there. Mark Campbell, my rowing correspondent, he could come down the Kalgoa or the Birri and turn up as Santa in the boat. How good.
Well, actually, it's pretty full at the moment. There's been a few pelicans swimming down it and a few fish jumping out of it. Lots of nice yabbies. Mark would have a nice meal with us. Thank you, Macca.
See ya.
Bye now. In the pub. They love it all over
Australia. There's a radio show that Australians all know. If you're rich or you ain't got a cracker. It tells stories so grand of this vast, timeless land.
Exactly.
And they call it Sunday with Macca. They all call it Sunday with Macca. Yeah, they all call it Sunday with Macca. Get on with it, Macca.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Are you still on holidays? Half your luck. There you go. It's nice to be back already. We've had lots of interesting calls already. John just rang. You might have, if you've just tuned in, John just rang. He was running. You could hear he's running. He runs 6Ks a day. And he reckoned he's changed his diet. He's become, I said, are you a vegetarian or a vegan? He said, no, I'm more than a vegan. More than vegan. He doesn't even eat oil. So anyway, he had a heart problem or something, but he's running and his knees are good. Since he's changed his diet, his knees are good. Maybe that's the story. Change your diet. Who knows? You can experiment with yourself, can't you, as long as it's not too radical. That's the interesting thing about being you. It's all down to you, whatever you want to do. I've been gardening and stuff, basically, in the holidays, just trying to make sense of things. And then you get back here and there's stuff everywhere and trying to make sense of things. Emad says, g'day Macca, went overseas for work for 2 weeks back in March. Now on my 11th return booking. This was written a little while ago. Arriving supposed to be 31st of December if I'm lucky. So he's made 11 bookings to return. What I'd give to be in lockdown in Melbourne with my wife and two young boys. No more lockdown, Emad. And to sit in our garden and see the parrots flit by or hear the song of a magpie. Miss you, Australia. Love you, Australia, says Emad. G'day from Egypt, which he describes as very far northwest Australia. I wonder if Emad rocked back into Australia on the 31st of December, Kel. Maybe. Peter Allen says, Macca, you had some confusion late last year when you talked about an ABN number for a book. And that's not right. ABN is a business number. The ISBN is the International Standard Book Number. They're free. Every author going through a conventional publishing outlet would have one applied for by the publisher. Who was the book we were talking about? What was the book, the self-published book we were talking about last week? And he said he didn't have an ISBN number. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't remember. Everyone, says Peter Allen, who self-publishes should apply for one routinely. It establishes the authorship by a 13-digit international code. The convention is the publisher or author, if self-publishing, has the ISBN, not the ISBN number. That's a tautology. That's what ISBN, the N in ISBN, stands for. Before the book goes to press, so it can be printed on it at the time of publication. The ABN has nothing to do with any of this, says Peter. Thank you, Peter. I knew that, but I just didn't know it, if you know what I mean. And this from our lovely friend Stan Mellick. You've met Stan from time to time. Stan was a bloke. He said lots of things. But he said one thing to me once. He said, our father. Now, Stan's is Stan 101 or is he more? He could be 102. I'm not sure. I spoke to him last year. Stan's a lot. But he said to me once, he said, Ian, our father wedded us to the bush. Yeah, it was Sister, that's right, it was Sister Robin's book about her time in New Guinea, and she didn't have an ISBN number. She said, I didn't have an ABN number, and that's what Peter corrected. Thank you. Yeah, Stan, he said, our father wedded us to the bush. That is, he took them camping. Lebanese background, but Stan's a lovely, lovely fella. Anyway, he's written to me, because Stan was married to the wonderful Letty Katz. Letty Katz, who wrote... Lovely songwriter. Letty wrote, amongst others, she had a drawer full of them, and I've still got some of her songs, and I've recorded some of them, but everybody should know We're Riding to the Never Never, which Letty wrote. We're riding to the never never on a long, wide road, a road that has no end. And she also wrote A Town Like Alice when she saw the film, A Town Like Alice. Just the place for me. We used to do it all the time in our concert, and we had a band, and you'd get somebody like Johnny Hoffman or Paul Panicki to play a trumpet solo in it. Once Donnie Burrows played a flute solo, didn't he? Or was it a clarinet? I think he played a flute solo in it. Beautiful. I think I should rescue all those sort of things somewhere sometime. Anyway, Stan, who's 101 and maybe 102, lives in Queensland. We haven't been able to get to see him because it's green across the border, but you can now. And he was married to Letty. Stan was a wonderful gentleman and a great lecturer at uni in English, and wrote some books and bits and pieces. And Letty would sit at the piano, a fastidious songwriter. Never let a chord or a progression or a... Always had to be just right. Anyway, Stan wrote to me just the other day. I thought you'd be interested, so I've sent you separately a Queensland State Library notification about an address to be given by Narelle McCoy, a musician herself, on Letty's activities, as she said there was little information available about who Letty was and what she did. Great names, aren't they? Great Australian name. Katz, Letty Katz. That'd be Russian. And Stan Mellick, Lebanese. And they're great Australians. We have asked the library if they will be recording the talk, although I understand Narelle will be publishing a book with her findings. She has made use of Letty's inimitable reply to you of musicians should be heard but not seen. Songwriters, I think she said, actually. We did a concert at the... We're in South Bank, Kel, didn't we? We did a concert in South Bank, and Letty was in the audience, and I dragged her up, much to her chagrin, and she said, oh... And I sat her down at the piano, and Larry Mahobrak was at the piano, and he was so thrilled, and they both sat there, and I said, you know, in my usual way, I said, Letty, oh, she said, oh, Ian, songwriters should be heard and not seen. And the whole place broke up. Lovely quote. Anyway, Stan says, I still remember well the audience's generous response to your interview with her. As Letty was well known to Sally, that's his daughter's family, long before I met you, can understand why her music is often played. She is well remembered. Your hope for a visit to Queensland has probably been put in a too hard basket because of COVID, so I'm not expecting to see you in the near future. Well, we should do. We should be able to get across now, Stan. A pity, but my advancing age has not changed me. I certainly disconcert a few people because of my activity and normality of walk, talk and appearance, but that's their problem. He's 101, maybe 102. He's a ripper, is Stan. I suggest, that's their problem. I just continue doing what I want to, and I'm still active as when last we met. I owe much, though, to 5 minutes of morning exercise, mainly running on the spot 200 times of a morning, plus a few stretching and bending exercises. Can you believe this? I've been doing it since I was 40, when I used the exercises to get rid of stones in the kidney, which I did. So it's not a shock to the system, and the benefits are well worth the 4 or 5 minutes involved. Before I close, says Stan Malik, the Atherton Tablelands Memorial site at Rocky Creek has been improved out of sight by the local council and others. Of course, Stan's a returned World War II veteran, of course. There were some more troops in camp there during World War II than anywhere else, so far as I know. So thank you again for allowing some publicity for it on the program. I really appreciated it. Pity it's not a national war memorial site, though. Program is still as interesting as ever, says Stan. And undoubtedly a part of Australia's Sunday morning. Stan, you're a little champion. I'd like to go to that address by Narelle McCoy, Queensland State Library. I wonder when that's on. When's it on? Is there a date there? Is there a date there? There probably is. I'll let you know in a minute because, as usual, there's piles of paper here. Is it? Doesn't say there. Anyway, I'll find out. We'll let you know when that's on so you can get along to it. Our number, 1300 7, in a minute, hopefully. It was supposed to be in a minute, but I've got carried away. Sir Paul Hasluck. I've just got hold of this lovely book. Well, I haven't. It's been there for years and years and years, and I've read it from time to time. But I'll share it with you. Great insights into horses. Yeah, just horses and people. G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca, this is Benny. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Benny.
That's good, mate. I just thought I'd tell you, a week ago today, I took my daughter from Victoria all the way up to Cunnamulla for a job she's just started.
What's she doing?
She's on a station up there. So she just finished school last year down here and applied for some work and got a job up at Cunnamulla on a station. So.
Well, is she a farm kid or...?
We've got a few acres down here at Romsey where we are, run a few cattle, but got a bit of an earth-moving business, but she just wanted to do something with agriculture, so she applied for this job, and yeah.
So what sort of things will she be doing there?
She's doing a bit of stock work, I think, mustering. I think they're shearing at the end of January.
Oh, what a...
So she's doing a bit of stuff like that, so yeah.
Well, the world's her oyster. Tell her to be careful, because it's, as you know, it can be, dangerous on the place.
We dropped her off there the other day. It was about 42 degrees or something, so it's quite warm compared to where we're from.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, she'll. That's a great experience. What's she, about 18? Is she 18, 19?
Yeah, just 18, yeah. So she drove her car up and we followed her up and met the people she's working for, the lovely people, Jim and Trish. And, so we're happy for her to stay there with them and, get some experience.
Yeah, I think that's a great... and see, this, I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect that there's quite a bit of work for young kids who are keen on the land. There's not a lot of people, people shortage everywhere, but especially on a farm, I suppose, especially at times, like now there's picking in various places. I think pears are on now, aren't they? And pistachios, all sorts of things you can do on the land, and great learning experience too, Ben.
Yeah, look, they got about, I think it was 67,000 acres, and there's only the two of them, so she's sort of going to help them out, and I think their son's got a station down the road, so they'll go and give him a bit of a hand, but yeah, you sort of wonder why kids don't get out and experience a lot of this stuff, because it's a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Oh, it is, and it leads to everything, and when you're 18 and you do that for, a few years and do something else, by the time you're 30, you really experience it, and you can do anything because you've done stuff, and you can be...
Absolutely.
That's why, I'd like more politicians to have had... a wide-ranging experience, not just on the land, but anywhere, working for somebody in a, do they still have foundries and stuff where you work in a foundry or putting lawnmowers together? We don't seem to do those sort of things. But I always found that the more things you do and the more people you work with and you see the different way that people operate, it just builds up your store of knowledge, and so you can talk to anyone about lots of things, and your girl will be just the same. What's her name?
Her name's Chloe.
Chloe. Great name.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on Chloe, and you will too, Benny, I'm sure. How's things in Kilmore?
For sure. Oh, yeah, no, we're just a bit sort of west of Kilmore at Romsey. But, it's not too bad. I'm in a truck actually this morning going down to Dandenong. But, it's good up there. It's getting a bit dry now. We sort of need a bit more rain. But, other than that, it's good.
Yeah, and other people are getting too much, isn't it? It's always the way here in good old Oz, Ben.
that's why we come back down through sort of Burke there, and the bridge at North Burke was, you know, nearly underwater. There's that much water up there, which is great to see for that Darling system.
Oh, yeah.
Down and the Lachlan was in flood, so it is fantastic to see them sort of some places get the rain they deserve. You know?
I'll say. Benny, good on you. Great to talk to you, mate.
Cheers, Macca.
See you, mate. Bye. Ah, yes. Browsing through the papers as I was the other day, I noted, and isn't it funny how things just connect in your life? I noticed this little piece about cabinet papers being released in the 60s, and there was a report in the cabinet papers by Sir Paul Hasluck, I think he was Governor General at the time, about some of the political players at the time, I think, and he had some words to say about McMahon and Gorton and I think Whitlam and also Ainsley Gatto. We won't go into that, but it was just funny because I'd been reading from time to time, as Professor Colin Roderick used to say to me, just read it from camp to camp, and I was just reading a book called Light That Time Has Made by Paul Hasluck. On the cover of the book, Paul Hasluck is described as a journalist, poet, drama critic, war historian, author, publisher, anthropologist, public servant, diplomat, parliamentarian, federal minister, and governor general. And there's an introduction and some postscripts by his son, Nicholas Hasluck. And it's a great little book. As I said, I'm only reading it camp to camp. But at the end of the book, there's a piece written by his son, Nicholas Hasluck. And one of the things Nicholas Hasluck has said, basically, is that if you want to know about my dad, try reading this book called Mucking About, which Hasluck wrote in 1977. But it's about when he was a kid. Now, he was born in 1905, so he'd be a kid, you know, say 1910, 1915, around that time. And this is a passage from Sir Paul Hasluck's book called Mucking About, which he wrote in 1977. And there's a passage called Growing Up in the Bush. And I'll read it to you. So he's a young kid in Western Australia in about 1910, 1915. And this is what he said, reminiscing much later in his life. After ploughing, there was harrowing and seeding, and then around to the harvest again. Whatever the operation, my mates and I used to go out when school was over and sit on the gateposts until the day's work was ended and the horses were unhitched. Then we'd be lifted up onto the back of a horse for the ride home, barebacked and without bridle or reins. The horses knew the way. First to the waterhole. They set off trudging, weary from the day's work, perhaps still feeling the drag of an imaginary plough behind them. As they neared the waterhole, the walk quickened. Their heads came up. They waded into the water, sniffed it, ruffled the surface with their lips, and began to drink. Their flanks heaved. Through my bare legs, I could feel the contentment of the animal. After drinking, they stood a while, looked around, savoured the distance, swished their tails, and then slowly heaved themselves around and out of the water and up the bank and set their heads for home. Their walk was now purposeful and steady. It livened up a little, and in sight of the stables they broke into a fumbling trot. We wobbled about on top of our mounts, and then into the stable, and each to his stall, and we could clamber down onto the rails and to the earth, giving a last fond pat to the withers. I would linger a while in the gloom of the stable, just to hear, for a little longer, the steady munching of their feed, the occasional fluffing through their nostrils, and the sound of horses munching again, a lovely sound of peace, contentment, work done, and animals safe at home and cared for in their stalls. Don't you think that's just wonderful writing? A man who obviously loves horses and loves nature. Hello.
G'day,
Macca. Yeah, g'day.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
It's Andy from Mudgee Airport.
Oh, what are you doing, Andy?
I'm just doing early morning runway inspections to make sure we've got no kangaroos hopping around on the airport and make sure it's all good for the pilots to fly in.
There you go. So this is a daily thing you have to do, Andy?
Yeah, it's a daily thing. We get out here every day before daybreak, check all the airport, check all the runway lights, make sure there's no holes on the grass strip, make sure there's no kangaroos.
And do you get many kangaroos there?
We do, but most of them can read. There's signs all around the perimeter. We only get the occasional one that can't read.
Well-educated kangaroos around Mudgee, eh?
They are well-educated kangaroos. It's the wallabies that struggle reading. The kangaroos seem to read quite well.
There you go. So what sort of a morning you got there at Mudgee this morning?
Well, it's pretty much a pea soup fog. So my vision at the moment's only probably about 100 metres. So, yeah, it's going to warm up. It's going to be a clear day. But right now, hopefully there's no pilots trying to fly in.
Yeah, and Mudgee's been pretty busy over the holidays, I suppose.
Look, it has, but like everything else, everybody's kind of staying away, and it is a busy town because it's so close to Sydney, but everybody's kind of staying away, and every time we get a bit of a push on with COVID, reduces the people here, but it's always a busy town.
Yeah, I know. We were there. Oh, we were there in the middle of the year, and it was busy. I couldn't believe it. From the last time I'd been there, which it's certainly, the place to go now, isn't it?
It definitely is. I think it's, talking to three or four people, I think it's wedding season at the moment. There seems to be quite a few weddings going on. A lot of people come up here to get married for some reason.
All right, Andy. So what do you do the rest of the day?
Oh, look, I'll go home now and... I work a couple of horses, a couple of young horses I've got at home. So I only do the morning inspection Saturday, Sunday. And, I'll go home and do that and do all those chores around the farm that I don't get a chance to do during the week.
Never stops, mate. Never stops.
It never stops, but it's the beauty of it. You're never bored.
Good on you, Andy. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Macca. See you later.
See you, mate. Bye.
Yeah, morning, Macca. Yeah, Michael here from Maryborough, Queensland.
G'day, Mike.
Yeah, just when you were talking about mangoes, that's what I'm doing here currently, just cutting up mangoes and putting them in the freezer. So up here in Maryborough, we have an abundant supply of them, and all just the local trees, not commercial, just local trees. So just chop them up and put them in the freezer and pull them out when you need them.
Well, that sounds lovely. Go on.
Yeah, what I was going to say, we've just got currently have a small storm coming over there, maybe about 15 mil, and it just takes me back to last weekend when the town of Maryborough here got flooded out. So, it was just over major flooding, but what the council had installed some mitigation flood walls, and the story got out that somebody forgot to turn the valve off, so the town got flooded again.
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, the fact is that the town certainly got flooded, so that was what the story said. I forgot to turn the valve off.
There you go. Now, listen, what sort of mangoes? Because I've been doing a little case study on mangoes ever since we got the call about the R2E2 mangoes, which is row two, tree number two or something. R2E2. And then there's the... There's various other ones, Kenzo Prides and stuff like that. What's your mango?
Well, the ones that I have actually doing right at this moment is what they call a bullock's heart. So they're probably well over a kilo, some of them, well over a kilo.
Really?
But, yeah, absolutely beautiful mango. But then beside that tree there is also a Bowen. I'm not sure whether it's an R2 or E2 or 3-2.
And there's Calypso, isn't there? There's Calypso. You see, I read the labels on them, various ones.
But look, the bullock's heart, you wouldn't use it commercially because it seems to be a little bit softer, so probably wouldn't transport well. But
how much do you put in your freezer? You stack it, I suppose. Do you?
Well, yeah. Because mangoes are good for you. So, yeah, may as well just, I just keep going until I run out of room, and then if I run out of room, I take out something I don't need, Macca.
So you've got mango all year. Just take it out and away you go.
That's the one,
Well, you can dry it too. It's nice to get dried stuff, but you usually can't get dried mango made in Australia. Usually when you look at it, it's made in Thailand or something like that. Not that I've got anything.
I have never done it myself, but my mother used to dry the mango for us. Yeah, so yeah, that comes up okay too.
Yeah, I love it. I love dried. Yeah, they're nice.
I,
I prefer it, actually. I mean, it's nice to have mango and ice cream, but I like, get a packet of dried, you can munch on it and stuff. It's good.
Yeah, well, I don't have to worry about that, Macca, because it's all in the freezer.
Yeah, all right, Mike. So the rain's gone, or the flood water's gone? God, I remember we were coming back from Gympie some time ago, and I remember it was flooding, and we're crossing the Mary River, I think, into Maryborough, and it was flooded, couldn't get across it. And I had a four-wheel drive, so we got across it. But, the council and everyone was there. There was water just over the bridge, but not big. It was a bigger flood than this one, I think, the one that you've just had.
Yeah, okay. Well, these days we have the bypass bridge, so generally the only little town on the other side of Maryborough, it's totally cut off, but generally you can, we got the bypass bridge, which if that goes over, we'll all be gone. Mm.
Yeah, well, it's La Nina, isn't it? La Nina. That's the deal. There's been a lot of rain around and very humid, but, you know, I don't know how many, when did they discover La Nina? It was probably called something else before that, wasn't it?
like wet season.
Yes, yes. Michael, you've nailed it.
Yeah. Hey, but anyway, so it's currently raining here still at the moment, so it's been just, raining for about the last 30 minutes. So, yeah, which is, been good. So, plenty happening, Macca. All right.
All right.
Nice to talk to you. And
good on you, Mike.
Your day.
Yeah, good on you, Mike. I'll drop in for some frozen mango.
Let us know and I'll get them ready for you.
Okay, mate. Good on you. This is the All Over News. It's our news. I think most Australians would know that we have a brand new Antarctic research vessel, RSV Nuyina, replacing the Aurora Australis, which has been retired. Nuyina was built in Romania, is 100 metres long, some 25,000 tonnes, and can carry 2 million litres of fuel to restock our four Antarctic bases, Mawson, Davis, Casey, and Macquarie Island. One small but significant part of Nuyina will be the ship's bell, manufactured in Maryborough, Queensland, by Olds Engineering. Now, the ship's bell is an important part of any ship. Often considered to be the ship's soul, bells are used for signalling, keeping time, and sounding alarms. They're also used for onboard ceremonies such as baptisms, weddings, and funerals. The people at Olds Engineering are very proud of the work they've done making the bell, but even prouder, I think, to know that the company still employs apprentices who played a role in the bell's manufacture. Peter Olds is a long-time correspondent to this program, but he's now retired, and his son Robert runs the company now. Peter Olds wrote to me the other day and says in his letter, "My wife Jan insists that I should keep going to work to teach the young lads coming on for as long as I can. I think it's a disgrace how we've let our skills in the workplace in Australia lapse. I was told last week that there are no apprentice moulders in New South Wales at the present time. We have a couple here at Olds who are very proud of their work, and we've talked for a long time about the lack of skills and the decline of skills in Australia, especially in manufacturing, because they make things." Anyway, about the bell on the Nuyina, Managing Director Robert Olds says, "This bell is made from a metal that's known by several names, including Gunmetal No. 1 and Admiralty Gunmetal. Queensland Rail uses the same composition, that's 88% copper, 10% tin and 2% zinc, and call it steam metal. This metal was used to make the guns that fired cannonballs in the early days of the British Admiralty when they fought against the French and the Spanish. If you find an old ship's bell, have a look inside," said Mr. Olds. "You may see engraved names." And speaking of things maritime, I was saddened the other day to see that the MV Barragoola, which was a former Manly ferry, launched in 1922 at Mort's Dock in Balmain in Sydney, and it's 100 years ago, it sank at its moorings. And it's a great shame for the whole city of Sydney that it couldn't be reworked and refurbished, particularly when you realise that we've imported a whole lot of new ferries which are not fit for purpose and have had a whole lot of problems. It's a wonder that all these billionaires that we hear about all the time can't spare a few million to make sure that our heritage is maintained and preserved. I was driving behind a bus the other day, and on the back of the bus it says, "This bus is zero emissions." So, and I thought, well, that's great, isn't it? Why did we bother with light rail when buses are zero emissions and buses are much more flexible than light rail? This from Chris Lewis, who says, "My name is Chris, and I'm a special needs young person who has an intellectual disability. I'm 37 years old and live along Anzac Parade in Sydney near Long Bay Jail. And we have a major transport system issue here in Chifley, 2036, that's the postcode. Before, you could get a bus from La Perouse to the city or Little Bay to Central. On the 5th of December 2021, Transport for New South Wales took the entire bus fleet out of service from La Perouse to city. Buses such as 393, 394, 399, 400, 353, etc. You get the picture. The list goes on," he says. "Basically, no one can get a bus from Chifley 2036 again to City or Central Railway Square. They're obviously trying to encourage folk to use light rail system, and this Eastern Suburbs light rail, to me, is a light rail to hell." A lot of disquiet, unrest. I don't know about in Canberra, but in Sydney, a lot of disquiet about the light rail. What did you do on your holidays? I spent some part of mine collecting seeds and reading books on how to propagate same. Hardenberger and flannel flowers in particular, they're my favourites. My uncle, who lived in Sydney, was most proud of the fact that he grew South Australia's floral emblem in pots, Sturt's desert pea, in the humid Sydney weather. If you've ever had the opportunity to see a desert vista of Sturt's desert pea stretched over the plain, you'll never forget it. Reminded me of a talk I had with Jill Kopp, who also had a fascination with Sturt's desert pea.
How are you, Jill?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. Nice to meet you. You've been travelling. What were you doing?
I was listening to Macca on Sunday, and I heard a lady phone in about beautiful Sturt Desert pea down near Roxby Downs. Mm. So my husband and I decided to go for a drive.
From Townsville?
Yes. Two and a half.
To Roxby Downs?
Yes, 2,500 kilometres, and to see my favourite flower.
Right. Well, tell me about it.
Unbelievable it was.
When was this?
Well, I heard the lady call in about August, I think it was, and we went down in September. Incredible.
What did you do when you got there?
Screamed and shouted like a kid, laid amongst the flowers, took probably about 500 photos, because I thought it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Just incredible.
They're wonderful things, aren't they? And the centres can be black or red or shades of pink, can't they?
Yes, well, we saw white ones and different ones that were all pink, even with pink centres. It was just beautiful.
And it's the floral emblem of South Australia, isn't it?
That's it, yes.
Beautiful thing, isn't it? Like all the floral emblems are lovely. The Waratah in New South Wales is beautiful. They're all lovely
yes,
things.
Yes, that's right. It's we have the Cooktown orchid growing in our place for the Queensland emblem. So the chance to see Sturt Desert Peas, I've always wanted to go. So it was a tick off the bucket list.
Jill Kopp. But there's more to Jill's adventures. And like an increasing number of Aussies, when they can, they go fossicking. Not just with metal detectors. Jill Kopp again.
Well, my husband and I are gem fossickers, so we go all over the place, Northern Territory, down all over Queensland fossicking. Out from Townsville, North Queensland is a great fossicking area. We go to Agate Creek for the agate. It's renowned all over the world. We go for peridot, out Cloncurry, Mount Isa way for amethyst and garnet, and then down to sapphire, Central Queensland for the sapphires and zircons, yeah.
Did you find sapphires?
Yes. Been fossicking that long, we sort of know what to do and what to find and what to look for.
Lucrative? Can you make some money out of it?
Oh, not really. It's more for the love of it and just going out bush and camping. The whole lifestyle is just incredible. And my husband also does faceting, so, yeah, and makes all the jewellery for me.
Jill, lovely to meet you. Good on you.
It's great to meet you too, Ian.
And as Jill says, it's as much about the experience as anything. And speaking of gems and fossicking and bits and pieces, this is from Joe Ungerer, who says, "Hi, Ian, we're at the Gem Fields of Central Western Queensland, and we had a public meeting at the Ruby Vale Flats late last year," this email came in the middle of December, "to discuss the moratorium that the State Department of Mining," this is Queensland, "and Resources, has implemented from the 25th of November last year for 12 months. They will accept no new applications for small mining claims." As I said, lots of people love to go fossicking, but more than fossicking, some want their own little pile. "The sad part of this exercise," says Joe, "is that nobody was consulted. When I contacted our local member, he knew nothing about what the department had done. the major concern for most of us small claim miners is that there is a plan to do away with small mining claims. Many thanks, says Joe and Murray Ungra at Rubyvale. Oh, to be out there in the peace and quiet. No COVID out there. Not much anyway. G'day, this is Macca.
Yeah, g'day, Macca. It's Johnny.
G'day, Johnny. What are you doing? You're running.
Yeah, I'm on my 6K run.
Well, tell us all about it, John. Where are you?
I'm in Haywards Bay, which is about 20 minutes south of Wollongong.
Uh-huh.
I run around this beautiful state every day.
Every day?
6Ks every day.
Why, John? You're just used to it, I suppose. It's part of you, part of what you do, eh?
I only started running about 3 years ago. I used to just ride my bike, and then one day I noticed I had a little bit of chest pain, and long story short, I ended up having to have a stent put in, which was a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah, I'll say.
And considering my father died when I was 11 years old, he was 46 years of age of a heart attack.
Dear, oh dear.
And I had a, at the time, a 10-year-old daughter. And I thought, geez, this is very similar to, you know, what I've been through. So I decided to do what I could to stay on this planet for a bit longer. So,
Well, good on you. Good on you.
Running wasn't part of the plan. I just started walking, and then I used to always get sore knees when I was younger. So that's why I never sort of ran. And then I started running one day and thought, geez, my knees feel all right. And I went to the doctors. I said, you won't believe it, I'm running again. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's because you changed your diet and you're not eating Western food, which is highly inflammatory.
So what are you eating? What sort of food are you eating, John?
I've converted to full plant-based.
Oh, really? So you're vegan or veggie?
Worse than vegan. Like, I don't have oil or anything like that. So, I mean, Macca, I used to think people, like, would come to our place for dinner or that were vegetarians or what. I thought they were actually a bit cuckoo, you know, but...
A bit sus, yeah. But now you're one of them, Johnny. Well, it's good. If it's helping your knees, good on you, mate. And we can try everything. We can try everything. But as long as you don't eat kale, anything but kale, mate, I'm with you.
Oh, mate, I love kale. I absolutely love it. I eat it by the kilo. And
quick, I've got to go. Quick.
Yeah, lost quick 30 kilos I dropped as well.
Wow. Well, that's why your knees are celebrating. Johnny, we'll catch up again. I tell you what, I won't come running with you. I'll ride the scooter while you run, okay? Talk to you soon. See you, mate.
See ya.
Bye.
G'day, Macca. It's Craig here from talking to you from Western Australia, Hopetown, Western Australia, on my summer holidays.
G'day, Craig. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. What are you doing in your holes?
I've just been for a morning run. We're just going to go out and get some abalone now, hopefully, if the swell's not too big.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is there a big swell around?
No, it's not too bad today. But, I've been coming here all my life for my holidays since I was only, from I was a baby to now. So 40-odd years every summer we come down here.
So how deep do you have to go for abalone? Tell us all about it, Craig. I know nothing about it, really.
So we just walk along the reef along here when it's low tide, so you don't actually have to go deep at all.
Uh-huh.
Just walk along, go down from the beach, and when it's low tide, which is early in the morning, just pick them off the rocks and make sure they're the size and then come home.
And how do you cook them? How do you cook abalone? What do you do with those?
Oh, well, we're probably not the best cookers of them, but we just sort of chuck them and bash the stuff out of them, and then, just grill them up in butter and herbs and garlic and stuff on the barbie.
Nice.
Yeah, they're nice, yeah. Oh, you can't eat too many of them. You get a bit crook in the gut, you know. They're a bit fairly rich.
Oh, dear. Well, just a little. Well, everything in moderation, I suppose, Craig, eh?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But no, we're all going well over in WA. We're just obviously opening up in the next month or so, and we're all just waiting to see what's going to happen. We're a little bit worried about all the people that haven't been vaccinated and whatnot, but what do you do, you know?
I don't know. What do you do? It's just you got to look after yourself, and if people are not going to get vaccinated, they better look after themselves. That's the thing, if they can. Got to keep away, you know, I mean, it's... That's all you can do is you know, if you've got, and I've got lots of friends who have got issues, you know, so they look after themselves and stay away and do all the things that, you know, they don't do anything, you know, don't travel on public transport, don't do all those sort of things, because I suppose you can't afford to do it.
No. We're going to have a lot of people that can't go anywhere or anything, you know, then they're not going to be allowed to go to pubs or restaurants or...
Well, not only are you not allowed, but they shouldn't go anyway, because, I mean, if you want to just look after yourself, that's what you've got to do. And unfortunately, that's the time we live in, Craig, or otherwise you can get vaccinated but that's a purely your own decision. But, you know, it's probably not very sensible. And if you don't, well, you stay home and you keep away from people. That's all you can do, because if you go out there, chances are you're going to get it.
Yeah. Well, you guys are obviously having it a bit harder than we have over here, so you know a lot more about it than we do. We're living in a little bubble over here.
Yeah, well, in lots of ways you've been lucky in some ways, because that's really nice, because I know, you know, people who've been through lockdown, especially in Victoria and New South Wales, haven't fared very well with that. That's not a good thing. But anyway, look, let's just hope that we all get through it, Craig, and... I'll look forward to getting back to Western Australia too. I haven't been there for ages.
Yeah, we'll have to come and get some abs anyway, Macca. We better go, so.
Well, I don't know. I think I'd rather have a lobster or a prawn or something by the sound of things. I don't think I've eaten abalone, actually, but obviously a delicacy.
Yeah, yep. Nah. Anyway, I better go. Anyway, well, it was good to talk to you, and hope you keep safe, and talk to you later.
Good on you, Craig. Nice to talk, mate.
See you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.